Yeah, I mean, and there's a fellow named James Hughes who teaches in he's a bioethicist out of Trinity University or Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. He wrote a book called Citizen Cyborg, which I have reviewed. And among the things he wishes to see in Citizen Cyborg, let me give you a quote if I can. This is from page 94, and it shows you the astonishingly radical nature of the transhumanist movement. Quote, and he says that to believe that human life has intrinsic value simply and merely because it is human, that is like the sanctity of human life ethic or the equality of human life ethic. Mm-hmm. He calls that human racism. It's a form of speciesism. We've talked about this before in personhood theory, you know, with bioethics, that we can't discriminate against animals by thinking there's such a thing as a hierarchy of moral worth, at least with regard to species. He calls that human racism. So he says this: so human racism will only be fully challenged by animals that have been modified to possess human cognitive and communicative abilities. He goes on, soon we will be able to genetically enhance primates to have human intellectual capacity, a project dubbed Uplifting by David Brin. I firmly believe that uplifting chimps will force us to admit that intelligent personhood, not humanness, is the ticket to citizenship.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting from the Internet for Monday, May 14th, 2007. And that's right, this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit-Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. I might even add the term transhumanist. This could be your WOG transhumanist sit-rep, or perhaps a WOG Global Sit-Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, Trends, and Transhumanism for your headspace and timing. It's good because, you know, a little bit of alliteration goes a long way when you're broadcasting on the air. I notice now as I'm going over my sound settings that I'm a little bit quiet. Not too sure I like how quiet I am. Probably going to turn it up just a touch, just a very, very touch, just a touch. There we go. Looking much better, I think. So, yes, in fact, this would be Newsreel. I'm sorry, last week we had some skipping issues. Not so good. Not so good with the skipping issues. Like, who wants to have stuff skipping on the show? Very sorry about that. Felt bad. Sim called me up, fired me. Not so good. Not so good. Felt really bad. So hopefully we will be able to avoid that in the future. But again, my apologies. Back to the intro. You are listening to the show, which is produced by Rant Media, who is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening to distributing this program, you are as well. You can follow up on all these news stories and check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, S76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio, Extreme Radio, Tampa, Jeeper One Radio, and Risk Radio. And if you know of any other online radio stations that wish to carry this show, please let them know that I exist. And give them a copy of the show and tell them that, hey, you can distribute this for free because it's not a problem. Everything's very, very cool. Got some feedback off the top, so let's get into that to see what you guys have to say to me, because really, that's what it's all about. Dear Sean, bit of feedback for you on the story for last week, the week of April 30th, about how Walmart is getting into the healthcare trade. Now, yeah, this is true. Walmart is beginning to put doctor's offices inside of their stores, which, I don't know, I know that down in Texas they're selling cards out of Walmart, but there's something about Walmart that just, you know, scares the shit out of me. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fact they're China's third largest trading partner. I don't know what that is. We live in an age where corporations are more like gods than they are like, well, businesses. You know, they don't tie themselves to one particular country. They fly around the globe. They got their high priests. They don't answer to anyone, really. They are the gods of our age. And the people who work for these corporations in high positions are nothing more than the high priests. Walmart could give the Vatican a run for its money. And if you think about that, that's not just an exaggeration, it's the truth. If the Walmart and the Vatican locked horns, who do you think would come out of that on top? Seriously, who would win that fight? Well, I'm here to tell you, I think Walmart would, because I don't think the Vatican is China's third largest trading partner. You know what I mean? So, hey, that's a lot of power. That is a lot of power for one organization to have. And when you're dealing with a corporation, well, they're psychopaths. So we've got this psychopathic god named Walmart cascading around our planet. Not making a judgment call here, just trying to find the facts. But anyway, we'll carry on. Now, as crazy as this will sound, this is back to the email here, I think that this might actually be a good thing, at least in the short term. Oh, to tell. You see, here in the U.S., it's pretty much all of our healthcare is privately owned and ran, as it is when wherever a private corporation gets in the business of owning and operating a vital service, they really fuck you over when you get your bill. For instance, about 2 years ago, I had my appendix ruptured. Not so good. Now, the medical science has just made me treating this out of... medical science has just about made treating this as an outpatient procedure via modern laparoscopy technique. So now I'm stuck with a $20,000 bill for just under 48 hours of hospital time. The surgeon, who's sort of an independent contractor, only wanted $500 for his work. The rest goes to the hospital. Now, the reason for this is rather simple. No competition. Since most people do not have a choice on which hospital they want to go to, go to get vital medical care, they can charge what they want. Now, I dislike Walmart as much as the next wog. When it comes to paying a couple of hundred for some minor procedure or going to a hospital or paying thousands, well, I'm heading to Walmart. Just a thought from Fat Ninja. Well, yeah, I mean, you got to look at it from that angle, too. I mean, you do need the medical help, right? If you need the medical help, yeah, I'm not really happy about that. I'm definitely not happy about, you know, someone having to pay $20,000 to get their ruptured appendix removed. Otherwise, you know, they go into septic shock and have a rather painful, twisting death. Not so good with the painful, twisting death. Try to avoid that as much as possible. But, you know, I don't know. Is it just because it's better the devil you know is better than the devil you don't? I don't know. Maybe there's an option C that we haven't really seen yet. You know, I mean, that would be a hope. I would hope that maybe there is an option C that people like Fat Ninja and the rest of the Americans who are down there and under the, the slave-type state that you guys got going on down there, I'm hoping that there's something better that can go along. In Canada, we don't have to worry about that stuff because, well, we have subsidized healthcare, which, incidentally, is a really good idea in some ways. I would say the evils of subsidized healthcare are less than the evils of privatized healthcare. But you know what? I'm not a healthcare guru. I don't know. I encourage you to go find out for yourself what you think about this. But, realistically, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. The whole thing seems kind of bizarre to me. The whole thing seems kind of weird to have going into Walmart to have my appendix removed, you know. All are welcome. You know, first time I walked into Walmart, which I don't, by the way. I don't shop at Walmart unless I'm buying ammo because they have cheap ammo. No, I'm kidding. Honestly, I used to go into Walmart to buy like certain things. Like, had one or two things that I would go in there to get because it was cheaper. And hey, you know what? You need to save money, right? It's about saving money. So, you know, there's that film, you know, the high cost of low prices and all the rest of it. It's hard. It is hard to avoid that place, but I don't go there anymore. I went there a little bit. It's true. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. I did, in fact, go to Walmart to do some shopping. I know I'm a bad person, but I don't go there anymore. The whole place seems kind of bizarre to me. You know, you got these old people standing at the door. Did anybody ever remember seeing that Walmart Remembrance Day commercial where they had all these war vets working at Walmart with their little blue coveralls on, you know, and they were like heroes from the Gulf War and Vietnam and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, wow, I don't know where you're supposed to be right now, but I don't think you should be working at Walmart. You know, I'd like to think that maybe we had something in place to help our war vets, and we definitely are going to need something in place to help our war vets now. I mean, the shell shock numbers are coming back, boys, and these kids are messed up. There's a shock. Didn't see that one coming. No, not like I've been calling that for the last, since before the war started. I'm like, yeah, we better get something in place to deal with the war casualties, because the psych patients are going to be through the roof when they get back. I mean, you go into another dimension. Anyone who doesn't know anything about Iraq or the Middle East, trust me, going from like Kansas to Iraq, you may as well have landed on an alien planet, okay? There is absolutely nothing that you have in common with these people. Not a thing. Yes, they're human. Yes, you are both human, but I mean, lifestyle, choices, religion, everything is completely different. And These kids coming back are going to be going through hardcore transdimensional shock, and that's what's happening. Now they're coming back, and they are messed up. They're having hard times holding jobs. There's people with, you know, they feel lost. They don't know what they're doing. I'm sure Scientology and a bunch of other cults are out there trying to pick them up, going to try to take over their lives and farm these people so they make good little, you know, products. But, hey, not really what I would choose to have people, because make no mistake, the guys who are going over there, they are heroes. They're doing what they feel is right. They're doing what they believe they should be doing for their country. And, yeah, I mean, I respect the hell out of anyone in the military and law enforcement. Just to, quite to my detriment. You know, I've had quite a lot of people, you know, land on me about that. I like soldiers. I love soldiers. I think soldiers, cops, firefighters, all that stuff. Paramedics. I think all those guys. I see everyone pays attention to the post-traumatic stress that the soldiers have, right? Because they go over there, the dead bodies and everything, blah, 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 blah. And they need to make sure that they can come back and, you know, get some help, right? Because it's pretty crazy stuff. But where's the help for the paramedics, for the firefighters, for the cops, for the people who every single day they get up in the morning, they go save lives, eat lunch, save more lives, go to bed. You know what I mean? And they're like up to their armpits in gore all day long. Paramedics especially. They are a weird crowd. Anybody who knows any paramedics, they know that the job affects them. Same with cops, old cops. Before you settle in an orchard, check the fruit on the trees. Look at a bunch of old cops. Are they happy? Are these happy people? You know what I mean? And especially in today's day and age where everything's getting more and more crazy. No one wants to be a cop anymore. Everybody wants to be the robber. I don't understand what that's all about. I mean, the whole culture is sitting there with the sideways hat and the guns going sideways with very, very poor pistol control, I might add. And I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe it's, I don't want to sit there and blame, you know, rap music or video games because that's just stupid. But I mean, that we can't argue the fact that there's a problem, okay, with our measure of social value. We have a problem with it. Maybe it's a, personally, if I was going to point a finger at something, I'd say the dissolution of the family unit. But I mean, you know, it's a hard one to look at and say, well, what's responsible for that? Well, there's a supply and demand. People need money. Once both parents started working, man, I mean, everything kind of went downhill from there. And now we've got a daycare culture breeding sociopaths for the next generation. Rock on. Wait another 15 years. You're going to see some crazy shit then, let me tell ya. But anyway, I digress. Well, or maybe I don't. I don't know. I'll let you be the judge. Let's get on to the next story here. Dear Sean, the fucking man, your show from 4:30:07 hit home when you mentioned being careful with drugs that mess with your mind. So I thought I'd offer a real-life example. I'm sorry if this gets a little long. That's okay. Real-life examples are okay. And it's not too long because you kept it to under, you know, 1,000 words. I'm epileptic. And have been since I was a year and a half old. No, you're possessed by demons. Just ask the Roman Catholic Church. They'll tell you. They'll get you a nice exorcism. You'll be fine. When I started high school, my mom took me to a neurologist so that I could be put back on medication and the seizures wouldn't affect me in school. The doctor put me on a drug called Lamictal, L-A-M-I-C-T-O-L, starting at a low dose. Shortly thereafter, I started to take the drug. I started to feel very tired all the time. Ooh, but it was told it would go away when I got used to the drug. Nice. Needless to say, I didn't get any less tired, and the doctor gradually raised my dose until I was taking enough for someone more than twice my size. Time for a new doctor! When it still didn't work, he switched me over to Trileptol, T-R-I-L-E-P-T-O-L. The same effects until I got tired of it and quit after 3 years. Fast forward 5 years after that, so he took it for five years post that, I stopped taking the drug, and I still feel the same drowsiness I did when I was on them. Wow, welcome to permanent brain damage. I've tried various amounts of sleep, different sleep schedules, various diets, even melatonin and sleep aids, with no relief in sight. Keep in mind that this is falling asleep, tired, waking up feeling the same way, and feeling that way all day long, every day. Wow, that's crappy. You know what I mean? Like, that is crappy. Even though I may be permanently fucked up, maybe this will help convince other people that if a drug is causing more harm than good, you should do everything in your power to get off of it. You never know at what point you can be fucked for your life. Or, pardon me, let me rearrange that sentence there, reread that. You never know at what point you can be fucked for life. Yes, it's true. And it's like, people are always worried about, you know, the lethal dose. How much of this drug can I take before it kills me? How much of this drug can I take before, you know, I actually check out and go to the great, you know, squirrel cage in the sky? Well, the truth is that there's a lot worse things than death. There is a lot worse things than death. Some people have asked me, you know, Sean, what do you think is the greatest crime? What is the greatest crime in the world? You know, is it murder? Is it rape? Is it pedophilia? Is it sexual assault? Is it, what is it? What is the greatest crime? Is it theft? Is it theft for profit? Is it exploitation? What do you think is the greatest crime? When you think about it, most people by default would say murder. Killing people is the greatest crime because you're taking away human life, something that is, you know, destroying life. It's very, very valuable, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then, of course, you've got your relative moralists and stuff like that who will jump in there and say, well, does life have intrinsic value? And if it does, well, how much is that value? Can you measure the value of human life? Does a child in Africa, one of the ones that die from malaria every 30 seconds, have the same value as a member of the royal family, say? You know, whereas if one of these guys burps or farts, we hear about it and it goes around the world. The fart that was heard around the world from Prince William. You know, I mean, you got to wonder. Because clearly in our culture it does not. Okay, I mean, you can talk all the smack you want, but the truth of the matter is that no, we do not believe all life is equal. We do not believe all life is sacred. Because if we did, I mean, it doesn't matter what country you're going, if we did believe globally that life was sacred, we would be going to Africa and sorting out the problems that are going on down there. We'd be stopping, you know, the genocide in Sierra Leone. We'd be stopping the concentration camps that are set up in Tibet. We would be, oh, I don't know, not sending our children to die for oil. Okay, but no, human life is a tool that we use in day-to-day life. I don't like it. I don't like that, I should note, you know. And if it's human life, does that mean that, like, you know, someone born with Down syndrome has the same value as someone who's gifted as a scientist at birth? You know what I mean? And then we get kind of sticky and people get uncomfortable when you may ask questions like that. They don't like that. They don't like it. Transhumanism is the idea where, you know, you can enhance yourself with technology. But people go and they come around with this whole idea of, you know, oh, I don't know about, you know, the ethics of that. And it's kind of like, and then people compare it with eugenics and all this kind of stuff. I don't know. You know, I mean, I've got my moral compass of increasing, decreasing suffering on the huge scale. But we got to understand that the word transhumanism and transhumanist ideas is nothing more than just using technology. So it's not like, oh, Sean's gone hardcore transhuman. No. Don't go painting me into a corner. Don't be doing that. But I'll tell you what I think is the greatest crime before we carry on here any further. I believe that the greatest crime is slavery. That is the greatest crime. Murder, yeah, it sucks pretty hard because people die. But it's over. Okay, the suffering ends. Slavery, and this is all kinds of slavery. This includes, you know, pharmafascism, where people are enslaved by chains made of chemicals that affect your molecules and bind you on a molecular level to a drug. With, drug chains, you know. I don't enjoy that kind of slavery. I don't enjoy economic slavery, where, you know, you take children and make them, you know, build, I don't know, baubles to be given away with Happy Meals and piss in a bucket rather than allow them to go to the bathroom and pay them 10 cents a year. Don't enjoy that either. That constitutes slavery. And, oh boy, would I be able to hand out some pretty stiff sentences for those crimes. Let me tell ya. Yeah, Torquemada would be telling me to calm down if I was in charge of that front. But still, we have the idea of, have we created an economic culture on this planet that is destined to run on the blood of the of the poor? Just like it has for, well, thousands of years. And the truth is, yes, it has. Nobody gives a crap about Africa. Nobody cares about what's going on down there. Because why? Because there's nothing we see of value down there. The only reason why we're in the Middle East is for the oil, and that's what keeps the machines running. And if the machines break down, then we break down. And the military is not about to let that happen. Neither will business or any of the other resources that we will dedicate to make sure that we can keep our society running. Blood for oil. That's the plan. Not really a fantastic plan, I know. But, well, you know, this is what they want to get running in our culture. I don't like it. I think there's a better way to do this. And the only way we're going to be able to conquer this kind of a mentality is through what? Through education, through science. That is the only way we're going to be able to overcome this particular notion. I don't really understand it. I don't really understand what it is we need to do to, all the thorough things. My brain is not big enough to comprehend all the answers. But I'll tell you, I do believe, I have faith. I have faith that technology would give us an answer. That's what I believe. Now, I could be wrong. You could call me, oh, Sean, you're nothing more than a religious zealot. You're a religious zealot, Sean. You have no idea of which you speak. I don't know, you know, what I would have to do to convince you to come around to my way of thinking, but I like science. I like science. I like technology. I like the idea of doing what we need to do to make sure that we can beat the meat, so that we can beat death, so we can beat the problems that exist within our culture. I think it's possible. I do think it's possible. I think that we would be able to save ourselves. Now, does that mean that I think drugs and treatments of drugs are a bad idea? Absolutely not. Medicine is a very good thing. But we need to understand that, there's a lot of pharma fascism out there that will try to enslave you. So how do you stop that? Well, you have to be educated. This is why you got to read. You got to use books. This is the whole purpose of the program. So that people understand what it is that is going on in the world around them. What it is, you are either going to be mastered by technology or you are going to master technology. Okay? You can either master technology or be enslaved by it. And slavery sucks, okay? It's just not popular. Well, it's not popular with the slaves, but the slave masters, oh, hell yeah. I'd like some more meat robots, please, and if they break down or whatever, we'll just kill them and rely on oversexing our slaves so that they produce more slaves that we can send off to die in war or any other sort of thing. This is the idea. And the best kind of slave is, well, the slave that doesn't know he's a slave. I don't get it either. But, I guess some people are just born without any morals or ethics. Go figure. Go figure. Dear Sean, another letter here. Another letter. Dear Sean, just a thought. Pirate radio cannot cause any problems with aircraft for two very critical reasons. Frequency and signal power. Now, this is because the other day in England, they have this thing where pirate radio stations run the risk of destroying the aircraft. It's going to be like Die Hard. We're going to be crashing planes into the ground. That's what they were saying. And people are like, no. What it is that was a nice big fun factor where they could say, oh, yeah, radio, these pirate radio guys broadcasting and saying things that we don't agree with. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're obviously, they're going to kill people. You know, I love how they take the most innocuous thing and make it, a terrorist threat. You know, there are real terrorist threats out there, okay? There really are. And to sit there and say the pirate radio will destroy planes. I mean, come on now. Okay, how high do you got to be to believe that, all right? Dear Sean, just a thought. Pirate radio cannot cause any problems with aircraft for two very critical reasons. Frequency and signal power. The frequencies used by pirate broadcasters are the same used by professional broadcasters. If frequency was an issue, they would have to ban all radio broadcasts, professional or otherwise. Well, give them time, baby. The other one is signal power. Even if there was some way for frequency to cause problems, overlapping, etc., they wouldn't be nearly as powerful as the professional broadcasting towers, and therefore incapable of causing any interference between the control tower and the plane. Yeah, but now you're just making sense. I know you already know the pirate radio story was bullshit. I'd give you my little armchair science for it in case there stood any doubt in your mind. Always vigilant, Charusa, the Ronin alien kitten. Listen, if you have your own expertise, and obviously this person probably knows a little bit more about radios and stuff than I do, because I am merely a talking head, you should probably send that to me. If ever you get a comment on a story, I want to know about it, especially if it's something that is relevant and pertinent, just as the always vigilant Truce the Ronin alien kitten has sent to me. So please do send that in. It's important. All right? Dear Sean, I'm unsure if you have mentioned on a previous show or not, but is there a reason you do not have a MySpace page? Was it with as popular as it's become in the past years, it is a perfect medium to reach potential logs. Any thoughts? And this was sent in by somebody. I'm not going to give their name here. There's a couple things here. First of all, I do not reach potential logs. No one's a potential log. People either just decide to be log or they don't. There's no method, no guru, no teacher. Okay? If you say you're WOG, you're WOG. Period. That's it. End of list. That's important. Because otherwise, you wind up with some sort of a weird cult-like status where you're like, I'm more WOG than now, and this kind of nonsense. Not something I would want to see happen. Not something I would adhere to. Okay? So, I would... another thing. Call me paranoid, but I distrust any system that catalogs the network. I like directional chaos. Yeah, there's lots of things. I used to use ICQ and all this kind of stuff, and there's a million businesses, Facebook, MySpace, all these different things, but you know what? You don't need that. You don't need it. You can have it. There's no reason to, but I don't want to have the WOG MySpace page, because before you know it, someone will like try to copyright it, and it feels bad to me. I don't like that. Besides all that, I don't need a reason to have a MySpace page. You know, I don't need a reason for that. I just, is there a reason you don't have a MySpace page? Yeah, I don't want a MySpace page. I'm aware of MySpace, believe you me. I find their websites annoying. I don't know if anybody else finds them annoying. I find them annoying. I think they're stupid. I think I don't really dig it. I think it's a way for people to just put themselves online and make a really creative file folder for the database. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but maybe I'm a paranoid crazy guy. Well, we know I'm a paranoid crazy guy. But, you know, I mean, you can see where I'm saying with this. I understand you're not trying to piss me off. I understand, blah, 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 blah. I'm not ripping on you directly. But, you know, that's real. I don't see any reason why I should have a MySpace page. I've got a website. Hell, I've got, like, a bunch of websites. Everybody knows my name. You want to know something about me? Just listen. I got, like, over 1,000 hours of media online. Just go check it out. I will entertain you, because that's what I do. With as popular as it has become in past years, it is the perfect medium to reach potential logs. No, it is not the perfect medium. But I can see why you think it would be. But I will tell you my perfect so-called medium to reach so-called potential logs. There is no medium that is perfect. The perfect medium is people. People talking to people, face-to-face, meet-space interaction. That's what we're after here. What I want, that's what I would like to see. I'd like to see both people talking and genuinely caring about the other person. Hey, I know I don't know you that well, but I see you standing on the street corner here crying. You know, I don't know you at all, but sounds like you're in a hurt locker. You'd be surprised. You would be absolutely floored with the response you will get if you genuinely give a crap about people. If you genuinely care, just a little bit. Just a little bit. People can sense that. It's bizarre. It is bizarre. When I talk about directional chaos, I like the idea of a couple hundred thousand and, oh, my heart rises a flutter. A few million people all wanting the same thing, like, say, flying cars. And if everybody works on it just a little bit, even though they're not talking to each other, the directional chaos of that will produce a result. This is how the world has gotten into the state that it is here. I don't know if I believe in a massive, you know, conspiracy and tendrils far-reaching, and we all following this plan of the secret society and blah, 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 blah. I don't know if I buy into that because, well, the logistics of controlling an organization of that size are staggering. The only way you could do it would be why, well, you'd have to find some way to bug everybody. You'd have to find some way to make sure that people are carrying around surveillance equipment so that they'd have a... You'd have to invent a gadget that would be able to take pictures and, you know, record conversations. And then after you create and you know, monitor their location and everything, after you have this, you have to make sure that people want to use this gizmo so that they talk to other people through the gizmo. And you'd have to have all the space available to record all those conversations, you know. And then you'd have to, you'd have to make it somehow desirable and come up with nifty versions of the gizmo that people would carry with them at all times. And they keep it on them and it would become essential to business. Before you know it, everybody, you know, they'd have their absolutely dependent level of, you know, gizmo they carry with them, and they'd be completely dependent on it. Which, I mean, that's just crazy. There's nothing like that out there. There's no device like that. Is there any one device that's, you know, being used for everything these days that we carry with us? I can't think of one. I can't think of one right now. But maybe you can. Time to sort yourself out. This one here was sent in by Toggin. Hey, Sean. I've been hearing a lot of people telling me to read the right books. Well, that would imply then that they're the wrong books to read, which I would agree with. There are books out there that I've read that I thought, wow, this is just not a good book. You know, that like Mein Kampf. You know, it's not a good book. It's a terrible book. The Bloodstained Rabbit, also not a good book. You know, there's bad books out there. But, I shouldn't compare Bloodstained Rabbit to Mein Kampf. You know, even though there's Nazis in both books, you know, I shouldn't actually make that comparison. You know, but bottom line is there are bad ideas. So that's a better way to... There are no bad books. There are only bad ideas. And the strength is being able to recognize a bad idea when you see it. That's important. That's important. And it's more important to recognize a bad idea and be able to say to yourself, hey, you know what? This is a bad idea. I'm going to let a recovering cocaine addict hang out at my house. Bad idea. You want to make sure that you can, identify a bad idea for yourself. And then when you recognize a bad idea, go, you know what? That's a bad idea. And when people say, hey, you want to do this? You say, no, I think it's a bad idea. And they'll say, why? And if you can't have the linguistic ninjutsu, like if Noam Chomsky were to say, hey, Sean, do you want to go do some cocaine? I'd be like, well, no, Noam. No, Noam, I don't want to do cocaine with you because I think it's a bad idea. And then Noam Chomsky would square off in his monotone voice and say, well, why do you say that? And then, you know, he'd be all set up in his little gi to do some linguistic ninjutsu with me. But I would not engage in linguistic ninjutsu with Noam Chomsky because he would kick my ass. So instead, I would step out of the arena by going, I don't really want to talk about it, or I don't have to tell you, or fuck off, I said no. All right, that's it. That's all you got to do. You don't have to justify yourself to shit. Okay? Justification is not something that WOGs need to engage in. You just make a decision for yourself and say no, because I said so. Mom logic, baby. It works like a charm. I say no because I said so. And that's all you need. As long as you don't push your crap on anybody else, that's fine. He wants to go, you know, burn out the nostrils. That's fine. Give your. I don't think Noam Chomsky does coke, by the way. But I do think Noam Chomsky is probably the greatest linguistic ninjutsu guy on the planet. I mean, I can't think of anyone else who I'd want to, you know, drop in the octagon of debate with Noam Chomsky because the guy, you know, has got a doctorate in linguistics, not a doctorate in politics. So you got to bear that in mind. You got to bear that in mind when you hear people arguing and ranting and going off on the radio. What is their background here? Are they really good with the mouth or are they really good with the brain? People like me, I'm pretty good with the mouth. Well, I'm not really that good with the mouth. But I'm a lot better with the imagination, I think, and maybe being... Yeah, I'd say... Not to toot my own horn, but I would say that, yeah, you know what? My imagination is... it's pretty good. I got a pretty good imagination. And sometimes, you know, if somebody wanted to step into the octagon with my imagination, well, I'll lock horns with you. But anyway, got back to the email here. I've been hearing a lot of people talking to me to read the right books. The problem with this, of course, they won't tell me what the right books are. Well, that's a good thing. Perhaps you can make a recommended read list. Well, you know, I'm not amazingly well-read, and I don't like, you know, mentioning books that I haven't read. There's lots of fantastic books out there. The first one, which I would say this is one of those books I'd like to download into everybody's brain on the planet. I've talked about it before. There's a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Spelt like it sounds. It's a book about this dude who got his psych degree, and for his graduation present, he got thrown in Auschwitz. And he had to sit there and watch all of his, you know, fellow people get, you know, pretty much dead in the process of dying. And pretty well the greatest version of hell we've ever seen on the planet. Incidentally, if you're trying to, anyone who wants to plan a vacation, you know, they go, I don't know where I'd like to go. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know. They're like, I'd like to take a vacation somewhere. I'd like to take a vacation that, you know, changes my perspective on the world and broadens my horizons. Hey, you want to do that? No problem. I have got the vacation for you. I will be going there. Everybody should go there. I think that every single WOG on the planet, you want a pilgrimage? You want your little homage? You want to go do your very own... What do they call that thing? The Hajj? The Haji? The thing where they go to Mecca. I can't remember what it's called. You know, the headbanging crowd. I don't remember what it's called. I think it's called the Hajj or the Mudge or something. Anyway, they all head off to Mecca, go, you know, yell at this rock and kiss this lock and stuff. It's kind of a gig. Means a lot to those guys. Not something I'd want to do with my spare time, but hey, you know, that's cool. What I would say instead, if you're looking for a vacation, and I think everybody should do this, is I would merely suggest that everybody go to Auschwitz. Yes, sunny Auschwitz, where the beaches are always closed and the birds don't fly because entire migratory paths have been altered by animals so they will not approach the death camp. And Viktor Frankl was there. Let me tell you, all you got to do is do one lap in that place and you will come to the absolutely global conclusion that, in fact, death camps are a bad idea as well. Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson, which is a fiction novel and a hell of a lot lighter than Man's Search for Meaning. Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson is the greatest cyberpunk novel written, period. List of Seven by Mark Frost, for people who like, you know, Gaslight, Sherlock Holmes, Cthulian kind of stuff. That's a good fiction novel. Altered Carbon talks a lot about, you know, the soul, spirit, science fiction. Islands in the Net, a classic science fiction story, also a cyberpunk tale. And one of my own personal favorites, Robert Heinlein's Starship Troopers. Because, well, Robert Heinlein's pretty cool, but I know I'm revoking his voting for Emperor of the Universe because, well, yeah, I checked out some of the stuff that he was into near the end there, and he got kind of weird near the end. I think writers get weirder as they get older. Look at me! God damn, I'm a weird bastard now, I'll tell you that. But into the news! Enough of this gaiety. Let's talk about the hexadecimal riot of 2007. Attempts to gag the blogosphere from publishing details of a DVD crack have led to a user revolt. The row centered on a cease and desist letter sent by the body overseas digital rights management technology on high-definition DVDs. It requests that blogs and websites remove details on a software key that breaks the encryption on HD DVDs. The removal of the information from the community news website Dig was a step too far for its fans. As quickly as stories related to the issues were removed, they continued resubmitting in the thousands. And an act described by one user as the 21st century revolt. The site collapsed under the weight of the attack at one point. The founder of Dig has now decided not to censor the information, telling users, if we lose, then what the hell, at least we die trying. Dig is a community-based news website with an emphasis on technology stories. Unlike traditional websites, editorial controls is governed by users who rank stories themselves. So, it's pretty wild stuff. The hexadecimal riot of 2007, and now you can buy the t-shirt. Hey, all right, you get that encryption code on a t-shirt, because once information gets out there, it just keeps on trucking. And that's what information is all about. That's what the internet's all about. Sorry, you know, this is what's going to occur, and you need to be aware of that. You need to be aware of the fact that, you know, the hexadecimal riots of 2007, you know, I guess, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, the fact that people are willing to stand up and say, no, we think information should be free. We think all information should be free. I can understand that. In Shadowrun news, sent in by Alien Binary, I got the other one sent to me by, like, the entire website, so I can't really... The entire website sent that to me. In Shadowrun news, sent in by Alien Binary, who works way too hard for Rant Media, I should state. That guy just busts his ass and is a good cat all the way around. In Shadowrun news, legitimate businesses are trying to turn cyber criminals... Legitimate businesses are turning to cyber criminals to help them cripple rival websites, say security experts. The rise of an industrial sabotage comes as some suggest cyber criminals are turning away from using web-based attack tools in extortion rackets. Experts suspect this is because of the risks involved in mounting such an attack on a web shop or retailer. Instead of the tools, usually hijacked home computers are being used to pump out junk email. Often these hijacked PCs, known as bots, are used for distributed denial-of-service attacks in an attempt to knock out a site or server offline by bombarding it with huge amounts of data. Nothing new there. Online gambling sites were among the first to be threatened with denial-of-service if they did not hand over significant sums of cash. In a recent entry in the Symantec Security Response blog, Yazin Gable said the company had seen a pretty sharp decline in the number of attacks that try to extort cash. Mr. Gable said it was because the extortion attacks were no longer profitable, because knocking on a website offline via DOS was loud and risky. Many of these controlling the networks of bot computers are now started using them to send out spam, which is just as lucrative and a lot less risky. But Paul Sopp, chief technology officer at Prolexic, which helps victims cope with DOS attacks, said they're proving as popular as ever. Of course, he's, you know, that's his business, so naturally he wants to make sure that it stays, you know, he's got a vested interest there. We've seen more denial of service attacks in the last few months than we've ever seen. Which, of course, you know, that's his business, so he's going to say that. The decline could just be part of the arms race between criminals and security firms. When the gangs feel the pincers coming in, they change their strategy. There was no reason to think of the decline because such attacks were no longer profitable. Not at least, he said, because only 20% of the cases do attacks stop once a victim has made a payment. Once they have you hooked, they'll keep going. If they can get some pretty, and they can get up to some pretty serious numbers. Mr. Sopp said the number of extortion-based attacks has declined little, but this had to be more made up by the companies using them to batter rivals. So what they're saying here is they're using denial-of-service attacks being done by one corporation to another corporation through the web to take out the competition. We've seen a lot of anti-competitive behavior. Mr. Sopp added that more Asian targets were being hit by service attacks, a region which Symantec does not historically have a big presence. So again, I mean, this whole thing could be just one giant propaganda FUD. In Asia, he said, denial of service attacks were proving very popular with unscrupulous firms keen to get ahead of their rivals. Now, if that is not a Shadowrun Decker run, I don't know what is. In one case, a Prolexic helped with a firm that was battered 4 months by a rival using a botnet owned by a criminal gang. It's a great use of funds to destroy your competitor, he said. Well, this is true. I mean, you got to bear in mind, corporations are, in fact, they're psychopathic. Which means that there's nothing wrong in their ethics. That's why it cracks me up. There's nothing funnier to me than a business ethics class. That shit just makes me laugh. Because there is no business ethics. Where are the business ethics? They don't have them. Don't exist. Not a real thing. It's in the Santa Claus room. You know what I mean? It's Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny are sitting there with Allah and Jesus talking about business ethics. That's what they discuss while they play poker with all men's souls. Will you give me a break? business ethics. You people make me sick. Just sick. You're going to talk to me about ethics in the world. Yeah, we're moral and ethical. Meanwhile, you know, like I said, please refer to previous statements about people dying all over the planet. Nobody gives a shit. You know, don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining. I'm not in the mood. In Thermoptic Cam news, this was sent to me by Set, also named as the dark Egyptian god of, is it the underworld or magic? I think Set was the underworld, or magic, or was it death? No, Anubis was death, Horus was magic, and I think Set was, that could be dark magic. It's been a while since I looked at my legends and lore books, okay? Just give me a break. A company model, a computer. This is from May 4th, 2007. Now, we've been talking a lot about invisibility cloaks and stuff like that, and I got some more on it, but this is really coming up. I think they're pretty close to this. A computer model designed by a mathematician at the University of Liverpool has shown how that it is possible to make objects such as aeroplanes and submarines appear invisible at close range. Scientists have already created an invisible cloak made out of metamaterial that can be bend electromagnetic radiation such as visible light, radar, and microwaves around a spherical space, making an object within this region appear invisible. This would be terrifying. If they could make it so that stuff could be made invisible, I would be, in a word, afraid. I would be very, very afraid. Think of what they could do if people couldn't see it anymore. If people could take pictures of it, what could they do with that? Could they have toxic waste trucks driving through the city? Could they mask massive antenna arrays? Could they, you know, change the aspects of reality? This is some seriously hardcore technology used for deception. That is its function. It is deceptive tech, or Deceptech. Deceptech. Hey, that's a good word. We should use that word. Deceptech. It is definitely Deceptech, okay? It's one of those kind of things that you look at and go, wow, you know, I can see how this is kind of cool in a Ghost in the Shell sort of way. But in other ways, I could see this technology being, shall we say, in a word, abused just a little bit, maybe more than a little bit. This kind of technology scares the hell out of me. All of it's vaporware right now. Maybe they're just trying to pump the internet for, you know, trying to build up the FUD and make people believe in tomorrow. And, hey, it's okay to go fight the war in Iraq because soon we'll be able to turn invisible. And, I don't know. Maybe we are the great white Satan if we can turn invisible and wander into people's houses and execute them. You know, I don't know. I don't know, but this is yet another example of the idea that you either master technology or be mastered by it. I am not a transhumanist, okay? Because that is a meme or an idea or an... Well, I guess, you know, I've never been able to put myself in a category, and you shouldn't either. That's why we're WOGs, okay? WOGs fit into the category of WOGs, and we are what we say we are, rather than being, well, you're fringe, you're weird, you're blah, 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 blah. Whatever they want to label you, that's fine. You can go, fuck you, I'm WOG. Okay, you can do what you want. I'm WOG over here. And WOGs like survival. We like staying alive. We like decreasing suffering. We like learning. And we like mastering technology. And we will use any goddamn thing we can get our hands on in order to survive and keep our brother WOGs and people who aren't WOGs surviving. It's not us and them. It's us and you. And we are trying to help everybody to decrease suffering on a global scale. If that means that we're going to use some transhumanist ideas to do that, then hell yeah, that's what we're going to do, because that's the name of the game. Let's keep the planet rolling, rolling, rolling. I'm just, you know, talking out loud here. Also in other psychoticness, in thought, sending me my demon window. In a world gone mad, a Chinese high school student in Fort Bend, Texas. Oh, he's a Chinese high school student, but he's in Fort Bend, Texas. So is he not an American student, or are we just trying to make sure that we, you know, identify the fact that he's Chinese? Because, you know, the Chinese guys are pretty unpopular these days, ever since VT Tech shootings, you know. He's Chinese. Make sure you have the race in there. Make sure, is he Chinese or what? What is he? He's arrested and then forced to attend Alternative Education Center. An Alternative Education Center, also known as a camp, where parents discovered that he created a Counter-Strike level based off the Clements High School for him and his friends to play on. The student had his home searched for weapons. He was detained until he was determined no charges could be filed and is now unable to graduate with his peers, all because of his map-making skills. I made a video game. Oh, wait. It was completely founded. He had swords. We all know Asian people can kick everybody's ass with swords. They've done it for thousands of years, right? Thank God we stopped him before he went medieval on everybody. I can understand. This is from the article here. I can understand folks being a bit jumpy in the wake of the Virginia Tech incident, but what happened to just, I don't know, talking to the guy? asking him what his intentions were. See, maybe if he'd take it down. There are better ways to safeguard ourselves against having the police ransack a teenager's bedroom. What a complete nightmare. Now the Chinese community at Fort Bend is rallying to support the unjustly punished young man, trying to get him reinstated in class, or at the very least trying to get the school board to admit they might have just gone a touch too far. As one community member says, we should teach our children not to judge others harshly. What exactly are we teaching our children these days? 22 years ago, a teacher caught me drawing him with an arrow through his head and made me stand next to his desk holding a picture for half an hour while my other fellow students made faces at me. My, how far we've come. And that was an article written by Michael Fahey, a very good article, I might add, and you should check out that website. They got a lot of good stuff going on over there. But that's where we're at. Thought crimes for everybody. You know, does that not strike you as being just a little bit off the chain? Anyone? I mean, Bueller. It seems to me that this whole notion is just a bit offside. Everybody's getting a bit psycho. But wait for it. What other fallout has come from the whole VT Tech shooting? Well, not like I called it or anything, but thanks to Caps Locker, who found it. In gun news, the National Rifle Association, the original gunslinging nuts, okay? I say that with great affection. There's a lot of NRA guys who I think are really, really awesome. There's some I think are crazier than shithouse rats, but they're still awesome. They're awesome in a crazy way. The National Rifle Association is urging the Bush administration to withdraw its support. So the NRA, okay, is saying that they want to withdraw its support for a bill that will prohibit suspected terrorists from buying firearms. Now, the big magical term here is suspected terrorists. We can't prove shit, but we think that they're suspecting, so they can't buy a gun. Backed by the Justice Department, the measure would give the Attorney General the discretion to block gun sales, licenses, or permits to terror suspects. Now, on the face of this, you'd think that that's a pretty good idea. You think that's, that's not too crazy, Sean. What are you talking about? It's a good idea. Why would you let terrorists come into your country and buy guns? I would agree. But my question would be, why would you let terrorists into your country? Huh? I mean, if they're not going to buy guns, they're going to find guns, or they'll make a gun. We should stop terrorists from buying CNC machines. You know, come on, let's not be stupid here. This is obviously something they're doing to block people's access to firearms, especially in the United States, where, it's kind of enshrined in their Constitution, which you should read that. You should actually read that and have a laminated copy in your car, in your vehicles, on your wall. You should keep a hold of that thing. It's a pretty good document. The guys who cooked that up were pretty smart. Pretty smart. George Washington did own slaves. It's true. Not saying all those guys were saints. But that document, hey, that was a good piece of work. Robert Heinlein, don't agree with everything he said. But, some of the stuff he did was pretty good. No reason to throw it out just because some of the stuff the guy did you may not agree with. Same with Arthur C. Clarke. Arthur C. Clarke, more and more I read about him, I'm getting a little bit concerned. I'm thinking, well, Art, if what I'm reading about you is true, may have to shoot ya. But no, I guess not. Who knows? The truth is a very strange thing. And generally, it's one of those kind of things that it's hard to get to the truth because everyone's got their own stories. But what I'm just saying here is that the Constitution's a good document. People should be aware of it. Now, also, you want to talk about some crazy, crazy tech that's flying down here. I know I've been using the term transhumanist a lot in this broadcast. Because I've been doing, just to step back here, I've been looking into it a little bit. People have been talking about libertarianism and transhumanism and transhumanism, libertarianism and all this kind of stuff. And when you wind up getting kind of crazy with all these different terms and relativism and all this kind of shit, a lot of isms and optics and stuff going on there, I don't really care about that. I'm looking for good, useful stuff that I can use to make the world a better place, period. And this is some use of technology that is pretty wild. The U.S. Special Forces, this is from Augmented Optic News, sent in by Rangefinder, which is kind of ironic considering his name and what this is, but the U.S. Special Forces may soon have a strange and powerful new weapon in their arsenal. A pair of high-tech binoculars, 10 times more powerful than anything available today. Okay, so super good optics. Augmented by an alerting system that literally taps the wearer's prefrontal cortex in their brain to warn of furtive threats detected by the soldier's subconscious. Holy crap. In a new effort dubbed Luke's Binoculars, after high-tech binoculars like Skywalker uses in Star Wars, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, who have been doing some scary stuff lately. DARPA is kind of turning into I think Bester works for DARPA, okay? But anyway, DARPA is setting out to create its own version of the science fiction hardware, and while the Pentagon's R&D arm often focuses on technologies 20 years out, this new effort is dramatically different. DARPA says it expects to have prototypes in the hands of soldiers in 3 years. 3 years. The agency claims no scientific breakthrough is needed for the project, formerly called Cognitive Technology Threat Warning System. Cognitive Technology Threat Warning System. Holy crap. Instead, DARPA hopes to integrate technology that has been simmering in laboratories for years, ranging from flat field wide-angle optics and use of advanced electroencephalograms, or EEGs, to rapidly recognize brainwave signatures. The article goes on and on and on and on and on. Make sure you check it out, because it is some funky stuff going on down at DARPA down there, man. When I got my optics telling me that kind of stuff, I mean, let's shrink that down. Let's put that into some glasses. Let's look at how, you know, if it can alert you, what could they do with that with the advertising? I mean, my God, what's left is, you know, imagination and vision for what you could do with this. Amazing, amazing stuff. Now, citing the prefrontal, I'm just, you know, this, some of the tech that's coming out now is freaking me out. Some of it's freaking me out, I got to tell you. It's exciting, but maybe I'm just a pessimist. You know, maybe I'm worried about how, you know, these psychos who got the money are going to use this tech on us. Again, slavery being the greatest crime. Now, in Jen-joked food news, sent in by Destined, check this out. Citing the potential for genetically contamination, a U.S. judge on Thursday let stand a precedent-setting ban on the planting of genetically modified alfalfa crop variety developed by Monsanto Company, which is actually a division of Satan. U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer, in a published order, said his initial injunction against planting more and more of Monsanto's herbicide-resistant Roundup-ready alfalfa should stay in place until the government studies on its environmental effects are concluded. So the judge said, yeah, you know, maybe doing some studies on this genetically modified stuff to find out what it does to people is a good idea. Thank you, Captain Obvious. You know, it's nice to know that we have some people left on the bench who have some balls. I would like to ask the question, what would Johnny Cash say about this? Personally, I think Johnny Cash should probably judge just about everything. I think Johnny Cash would be a really good judge. Yes, I know. I know. I know. I know he's a rabid Christian. But still, it's Johnny Cash. I mean, really. If Johnny Cash was to pass judgment on something, the guy, he did time. You know, he's not an angel. I think that Johnny Cash would probably cut you a little bit of slack if needed to. And I don't think Johnny would hesitate in dropping the hammer. In other news, Arg Fargle sent me a story about illegal media. In illegal media news, independent merchants selling and buying used CDs across the United States say they're alarmed by a stepped-up pawnbroker-related laws recently enacted in Florida and Utah, pending in Rhode Island and Wisconsin. In Florida, the new legislation requires all stores buying secondhand merchandise for resale to apply for a permit and file in the form of a $10,000 bond with the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. In addition, the stores would be required to thumbprint customers selling used CDs and acquire a copy of state-issued identity documents, such as a driver's license. It's to sell your music. Jeez, I wonder who's behind this one. The law in Utah and the legislation pending in Wisconsin and Rhode Island are also harsher than typical pawn shop laws, according to John Mitchell, an outside counsel for NARM, the National Association of Recording Merchandisers. So, you know, this is yet another example of the MPAA and the RIA actually just flexing a little bit of muscle there, showing what they can do to get people to, you know, play ball. Why? It's my CD. It's a CD. I'm selling in a store. It's a legit copy. It's not pirate. It's mine. I bought this. Well, it could have been stolen. Someone could have stolen it. Someone could steal a lot of stuff. By the same logic, you should do that for what? Every single dime. Well, why is it only music CDs? Maybe even software. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Maybe people are printing off really high-quality doubles that no one could recognize and then selling them for more. They're buying them in China, bringing them to UCDs, and distributing them everywhere. Could you say cost prohibitive? I don't know, man. I don't know. It seems to me that everything's getting just a little bit too locked down for my liking. But hey, who am I? Who am I to say these things? I'm just a crazy guy up here. Entertainment purposes only. Please don't arrest me. Hey, today's Daily Hack is a do-it-yourself Wi-Fi range extender. Now, this is quite the neat piece of kit. It looks like they took a strainer, you know, like the little things that fold up and stuff like that. I like it because if you put a little bit of olive drab paint on it, it would look super, super techie and major, you know. I think it's cool. Okay, screw off. I just think it's neat. But it's a do-it-yourself Wi-Fi range extender. Easily receive Wi-Fi signals from far away using a standard USB Wi-Fi adapter and a bit of ingenuity. This is so easy. Everyone should do this. This simple idea requires no modifications to a USB Wi-Fi adapter or your computer. A simple way to increase the signal strength and range of your Wi-Fi. Plus, it works with all USB Wi-Fi adapters. It uses a strainer. Okay? Sweet. Go to your kitchen, get more Wi-Fi. My rec media today was actually up at the top where Buddy asked me, you know, what are good books, so check those out. Very, very cool. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free like beer podcast brought to you by Wogs Who Care. Maybe what's going to happen is people should make newsreel news CDs, you know, with that are just media, and they'll make a nice packaging for it. Go to a used CD store and say, hey, do you guys want these? Maybe get $4 for them. And people will buy them. People tend to value things they buy. I don't know why that is. They think the things they purchase have more value than things that are free. But maybe that's something that we should do. I mean, when they make it illegal to sell music, then I guess only illegal music will be sold. I don't know where to go with that, but that scares the hell out of me, you know? I'm worried about what's going on in our countries, guys. I don't think of a United States and United States and America. I think of the whole thing as North America. I think of us as, kind of like a brotherhood, really. It's up to us as people to transcend the borders and start looking at each other and anything as creatures with some kind of like, you can't let other people tell you what the differences are. You've got to look at them and value things individually. Every individual thing has a different value. And it's up to each of us to judge on our own. It's not up for someone to tell you what is and what is not going on. You have to learn, make decisions, and make decisions for yourself. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but life is hard. And it's up to us to make sure that we do the best we can. Now, I would like to thank everybody who brought you this program. And it's brought to you by Wogs Who Care. If you want to donate to the program, that's great. But if you can't donate, you should distribute the program. Give it away to people so that other people can see that, you know what, there's people out there just like them. And if you can donate, please go do so by going to the Rant Media, click on the Donate tab, top right hot link, or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta BC, Canada, V4M2M4. Or if you want to go to check out, if you'd like to donate and you'd like to get something for your donation, which means you'd like to buy something, you can head over to like Lulu Press and pick up a copy of my book, The Scab Wings of Abaddon, which, you know, well, kind of, you know, it's a halfway decent book, and you might like it, you know. And I couldn't bring myself to put that up in recommended reading, by the way. I couldn't do that because I think that's just a little bit too shameless self-promotion. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys and their assistance in gathering data. You guys rule. And you know what? And you guys are actually heroes because for guys like you to be out there doing this stuff, you make this show work. You guys rock. If you have information that you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, it's just a mix of my own personal stuff. Nothing really major there. Just some stuff I had kicking around. I'm going to fade out now with a track, which I really dig a lot, from Rob Dugan's Furious Angels track called Furious Angels, title track of the album. And very, very slick. Make sure you go pick up that album. I've been power playing that album. It's a great album. And remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. We have to find reasons to agree and reasons to help each other, not reasons to keep us separate. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Like a sentence of death, I got no options left. I got nothing to show now. I'm down on the ground. I got seconds to live, and you can't go now. 'Cause love, like an invisible bullet, shut me down, and I'm bleeding. Yeah, I'm bleeding. And if you go, furious angels will bring you back to me. Will bring you back to me. You're a dirty needle. You're in my blood and there's no cure, man. Stunned and I'm back to me.